Welcome to UN Global Perspective from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, ongoing civil war in Syria won't prevent the ancient city of Aleppo from rising again. Now the guns are silent there. And a quarter of the world's 1 billion school children are being bullied, a new UN study finds. But first, the year 2017 will see a modest recovery in global economic growth, according to the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs, DESA. The World Economic Situation and Prospects Report highlights some solutions to a prolonged economic slowdown caused by weak investment and slower growth in global trade. Lenny Montiel is the Assistant Secretary General for Economic Development at DESA. Jocelyn Sambira asked him about the report's key findings.
The global economy remains trapped in a prolonged episode of slow growth. In 2016, global GDP growth fell to 2.2%, and this was the slowest pace since the Great Recession of 2009. The report we are launching projects a modest recovery of the economy in around 2.7% for 2017 and 2.9% in 2018. Let's remember that global GDP in 2016 was only 2.2. Of course, if we consider 2016 as the bottom of the current cycle, we would like to believe that we are at the start of a recovery path. This prolonged slowdown has been driven by a self-perpetuating cycle of weak investment, as well as a slower growth in global trade. Also, slow productivity growth, as well as high level of debt, has been affecting this whole trend.
What advice does the UN have to offer to member states?
We need to emphasize stronger, concerted policy efforts to stimulate investment and productivity. Overall, a more balanced policy is needed. That means we need to continue with monetary policy support. We need more effective fiscal policies, and all of that should be complemented by the enhancement of structural reforms in the economies of many countries. All those policy efforts, of course, should also ensure that the benefits of growth are well distributed and that countries also address policies that focus on elimination of poverty and the reduction of inequalities.
You've touched on the implications of the slow recovery on the sustainable development goals. What about climate change? How is it going to affect tackling climate change or efforts to tackle climate change?
Let's remember that the possibilities of conducting systematic, sustainable efforts to address climate change threats and to be consistent with the Paris Agreement, we need not only policies, but we also need finance. The situation where we have a sluggish economy implies that the resources, financial resources available to back up all those policy commitments is challenging.
Years of war and destruction won't prevent Aleppo from rising once again, according to the UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Syria, speaking from the rubble of the eastern part of the ancient city. Ali al-Zatari said that it pains the heart to witness a destruction firsthand, but Aleppo citizens have a resilience and love for life that will fully resurface. He said that after nearly 6 years of civil war, millions remain trapped in parts of Syria, including the city of Deir ez-Zor, which has now become, in his words, double besieged. Rima Baza asked Mr. al-Zatari to describe what he'd seen in Aleppo, which was fully recaptured by Syrian government forces last month.
We are seeing unimaginable devastation and destruction, especially in the east side of the city, just adjacent to the citadel that has marked Aleppo's history and life throughout the years. The Umayyad Mosque, the surrounding old market, which is one of the oldest roofed markets in the globe. It has been a roofed market for 14 centuries. A lot of destruction that pains the heart, especially for people like me who have seen this area under different and better times. But what strikes me equally is the ability of the citizens of the city, their resilience, their love for life.
What did you see that demonstrated the resilience?
It's very nice to see young children going to school and rushing out of school. The streets are bustling. The markets are working. There is a determination that years of war are not going to prevent Aleppo from rising once again. But the reminders of this conflict are still with us. I mean, Aleppo is under a severe water shortage because the water source is in the hands of ISIS. And for now, the fourth day, it's been cut off.
And Aleppo is only part of the story. What about other parts of Syria?
Usually, when we come to Aleppo, we pass through Homs. It's a beautiful town that has equally been devastated. Together with the Syrian authorities, the United Nations is doing a massive reconstruction of parts of the souk. And one or two shops have reopened. People are optimistic. There are indeed hard-to-reach and besieged areas in Syria that we try to reach on a monthly basis in coordination with Syrian Arab Red Crescent and the ICRC. In recent weeks, we have not been as successful as we want to be due to approval processes that complicated the movement of the convoys. We are in constructive dialogue with the authorities to remove these obstacles and facilitate the movement of convoys to these areas.
Of the more than 1 billion children at school around the world, around one quarter face bullying, the UN says. That's the worrying headline statistic from a new report published by the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. It highlights that those most at risk are often poor, are from ethnic, linguistic or cultural minorities. New types of bullying, such as online victimization, are also affecting children's lives, as the agency's Christopher Castle told Daniel Johnson.
There are estimates that as high as 246 million children and young people around the world experience school violence and bullying every day. Of course, school violence and bullying has been around for a long time. It's just that it often hasn't received the recognition and attention that it should. And I think now countries and education sectors and schools are waking up to the fact that this is really an issue that's been neglected or overlooked for far too long.
Okay, so why has it been overlooked for far too long?
You know, there's multiple reasons. One is that I think thanks to the Sustainable Development Goals, and particularly SDG 4 on education, we've thrown much more of a spotlight and attention on the issue of school violence and bullying and the importance of a safe, secure, and peaceful learning environment, which we know is crucially important for better learning when children and young people are in school.
Maybe we could just talk about one of the recent trends, cyberbullying. What are you seeing there? What's the data telling you?
Well, cyberbullying or bullying online is increasing. One of the reasons for that is because more and more children and young people are connected to social media. You know, they're using ICTs as a way of communicating, and it brings many, many positive benefits. But of course, it also brings with it the potential for bullying online. So that's something that a number of our member states or countries are raising as an area of concern. They want to know what they can do to reduce the risk, prevent cyberbullying, and have policies in place to address it when it happens.
Just talking about the vulnerability and those who are vulnerable being most prone to bullying, there's a parallel, isn't there, with the wider community, with the rise of populism and, for example, let's take migrants and migration. That's a huge issue, and there seems to be a lot of bullying of that sector.
Whenever there are increases in children or young people at school that come from a different background who may not speak the local language or may not speak it very well and have to go through a process of integrating within their new cultural surroundings, we have data that shows that they can be at increased risk. And so that really underscores ensuring that values are also very important to have in school and reinforced through learning and from teachers and other trusted adults at school. And that would include things like respect for all, empathy, solidarity, intercultural understanding. And the good news is there are programs out there and there's materials that UNESCO and other UN agencies have developed to support ministries of education to make sure that those types of values are instilled and respected and understood as being very important by all learners in school and by the teachers who need to be trained to support that as well.
You've been listening to UN Global Perspective from the United Nations in New York, and you can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. I'm Matthew Wells. Thanks for tuning in.